Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Lord, it will be provided.
angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This is, unquote, I should say, and this is a pivotal test. This is this test of Abraham represents a very powerful action. The foundation of firmness, or faith, I should say, is trust in God. There is no equivalent in the Old Testament there's no equivalent word for our term faith. In fact, the word faith is not found in the Old Testament. Our term faith has been imposed upon the text by well-meaning translators. Indeed, there is no definition of faith given in the Old Testament as we have in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 1, given in the New Testament. The word that has been transliterated faith for us, or in our text, in verse 1 of Genesis 22, where we read, sometime later, God tested Abraham. It is a very interesting word. And this word means intensive or intentional action. Intentional or intensive action. And so it is important to understand that as one approaches a story, that actions are primary in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, firmness, or aman, A-M-A-N, firmness or stability in Yahweh is demonstrated by what one does, and not by what one says. Actions are primary in the Old Testament. As you and I know, too, we know that actions reveal character or the essence of who people really are under pressure or otherwise. And so when reading Genesis 22:1, we must understand that the statement, sometime later God tested Abraham, we must remember that this test, this interrogation, is based upon a maturing relationship with Yahweh. Indeed, Yahweh had cultivated the firmness activity of Abraham and brought him to this point. Yahweh knew that the firmness activity of Abraham was ready for this crisis. Yahweh was going to break up the foundation of that current relationship with Abraham, or so it would seem to observers. But God was not breaking up the old as such, but he was revealing the new relationship that he possessed with Abraham. Indeed, the change of his name from Abram to Abraham bespoke of a new relationship with Yahweh. Yahweh tested Abraham. Now please note in Genesis 22:1 that God, or Yahweh Elohim, is the grammatical subject, and Abraham is the object of the verb tested. As we too are tested by God, or Yahweh. But we may not be tested in the way Abraham was tested. And once again, the verb tested indicates intentional or intensive action. This event, that some have called the Akedah, is more than that, or the binding of Isaac. This event in Abraham's life was also to create a rent within the very fabric of his firmness in Yahweh. This event was to indicate a new destiny, and therefore a decisively new walk with Yahweh. It is interesting that Abraham's test is about love. As said in Hebrew, or agape, the sacrificial love in the New Testament. In the following verses, love is balanced by obedience. Love is balanced by obedience. Love is always about sacrifice. And please note the triangulation of love given in this text. There are times when triangulated relationships are unbalanced because of the power differentials. But here is a picture, here is a concrete picture of love. This is a concrete picture of agape in the New Testament. Hebrew theology and Hebrew thinking is concrete. It is not abstract. So, in Hebrews, in the New Testament, in Hebrews 11:17, one reads these words, quote, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac." Notice the language. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called," notice, "is the son of promise, asking for them back from Abraham. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, in verse 17, in the Greek, the word tried is perizomenos. And the root of this word means experience. So it's a very deep word. And the essence of the word is interrogation. The tempter has been called ho perizon. That is Satan or the enemy. We read in the Gospels about the temptation of Jesus or Jesus. The temptation was designed to reveal character. God allows perizomenos so that the one who is being tried will gain experience. The crisis is designed to create or bring experience within the walk, within the life of the individual. God grows us up through trial. Love and obedience are the theme of this text. Abraham did not test God by interrogating him. And it is vital to note this, that Abraham did not test God by interrogating him. There is no fear between Abraham and his relationship with God. This becomes prominent in the text. There is the acquiescence on the part of Abraham to Yahweh's, or to the demands of Yahweh. It is important that the demands of Yahweh not be trivialized. And so therefore, we bypass theologies that want to trivialize this aspect of the essence of God, or the divine essence. Abraham does not resist the known will of God. Abraham does not resist the will of God at all. Abraham has come to know that for him, the best place to be, to exist, is within the will of God. Abraham had conquered fear in his soul through a lifetime of trust in God. Abraham had come to know God. And this type of awareness is only derived by constancy and devotion to God. Abraham is free. Both God and Abraham are free. Isaac, too, is free. And so, the Akedah, or the binding of Isaac, and the theology that has come out about this particular incident fails to see the freedom of Yahweh, Abraham, and Isaac. The freedom of God is qualitatively unlike the freedom of Abraham. The freedom of God is related to his essence, and for us it means, who can say, what doest thou? The freedom of Abraham, however, is the freedom to positively respond to the divine will. The theme of the first book of the Bible, the book of Job, or Job, is about divine freedom, or the freedom of God. And I realize that that can be a terrifying reality for many, or for some. But God is absolutely free. We are dependent upon him, and we are thankful for his gracious and his merciful will toward us. We are thankful that he is who he is. We are thankful that evil is not intrinsic reality. We are thankful that divine goodness and mercy and kindness are intrinsic realities. We are thankful that divine love are intrinsic realities. So here is an instance of divine freedom, and Abraham responds to his freedom in God through showing his love for God through obedience. Our obedience is demanded by God. It is his failure to appreciate the importance of obedience to the divine will that creates unbalance in our lives. The idea that one can be dismissive, or the idea that one can trivialize what God has said, creates spiritual unrest, creates spiritual distress, creates certain types of depression on the part of believing ones. It is indeed imperative that we do periodic spiritual assessments on ourselves. I know that one of the spiritual assessments that's used in the medical field is the HOPE spiritual assessment, or the HOPE assessment. And I'm sure you can look it up on the internet. And we really need to take an assessment of where we are within the will of God. We need to see if our lives are characterized by obedience. We need to see if our lives are outside the realm of obedience. Within the scripture, love and obedience are always together. The theme of the book of Deuteronomy is love and obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will perform my commandments. If you love me, you will do my commandments. If you love me, you will practice my commandments. If you are my friend, or if you love me, you will do whatsoever I have asked you to do. There's never anything about armchair commitment. And yesterday I was listening to an interview by a famous author. And he was being interviewed about the civil rights movement. And he was asked about a particular group, and he said, well, this particular group has the right attitudes. They have the right attitudes, but little conviction. And that struck me deeply. That is, the idea that one could have the right attitudes, or that a group could have the right attitudes, but little conviction. Because it is the conviction that compels action. It is the conviction that motivates or stirs the heart. So, here in our text, the most precious gift is asked of Abraham. God asks for Isaac. This can be outrageous. Abraham is willing to give the gift back to the giver without question. Thy will be done is Abraham's desire. Abraham is taken up into the divine will. He is spiritually suspended between heaven and earth. Abraham's knowledge of God is not brokered by a third party. It is an immediate and direct encounter with the will of God. But in this very wonderful passage, one reads that Isaac was given to God by Abraham, and Isaac was given back to Abraham in a new way. This is extraordinary. Herein is the power of resurrection. Herein is the power of a new beginning. God's summon to Abraham was to rise out of the ordinary to become extraordinary. Abraham's story for us is a timeless message that we repent of the well-cultivated road and take the extraordinary road of trusting God. Please note that the way of trusting God leads to the cross of Calvary, that is, it leads to sacrifice. And God's extraordinary gift of Jesus. God gave his son, his only son, whom he loved for us. And then God received his own son back to himself in a new and extraordinary way. Jesus died for us, that we might have access to God. Jesus died